Well, good morning, everyone, or good day, or good afternoon, or good evening, or whatever time it is that you are joining me. Welcome to you. I am delighted to be here with you, and I hope that you are delighted to be here with me whenever it happens to be that we are together. It's a rainy morning in the valley here. In fact, it was storming all night. I lost power around 2 o'clock in the morning, and then had that little fun dance of trying to get in touch with Dominion Electric and all that kind of stuff. But my power's back on, so that's a very happy thing. I hope that your Thursday is going better and that you are up and brighter than I am this morning. Good morning, Jenny. I see you on there. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Again, welcome to all of those who are with me live right now. And welcome to those that will join later. Well, this week we're going through our mini-series on the subject of prayer. And we've looked at the why question mainly. We've also looked at what to pray for as well. Why pray? Well, because God tells us to. Because Jesus can sympathize with us. Because prayer keeps us ready for spiritual warfare, making us aware of what's going on around us. And what do we pray for? In short, we pray for everything. And we pray in the Spirit for all the saints. That means fellow believers. But where do we go today? Again, we keep coming back to the why question because the fact of the matter is that Scripture spends so much time telling us why we ought to be going to the Lord in prayer. All right? So today we're going to look at another reason why we ought to be praying. And I kind of alluded to it yesterday when I said, remember who you're talking to when you pray. But there are other reasons that we should pray revealed in our passage today. And speaking of our passage, go ahead and take your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew. Again, we've been in Matthew recently, but we're going back to Matthew today. That's the very first book of the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Okay? Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is preaching his great, what's been called the Sermon on the Mount, that contains so many just extremely important and useful teachings for life itself. It's so practical, so valuable. The Sermon on the Mount, as it's been called, it begins back in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. Now, maybe you're familiar with that. Those are the blessed statements. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so forth. All right. But where we come to today is sort of at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And the fact that Jesus is talking about prayer at the end of this great collection of teachings, it really only enunciates prayer's importance, right? It does to me. I think so. So we're going to be starting in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. So Matthew 7:7 is where we are today. And I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, ask, and this is Jesus speaking, by the way. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, you are evil, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Very good question, right? And then the section ends in verse 12 by saying, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And we're going to stop reading right there. Now, obviously, our passage is talking about prayer, right? After all, the very first word in our passage is ask. And how would we ask in any way other than through prayer? But why pray? Well, we just read it. We should pray because if we ask, we will receive. Now, you might be thinking, whoa, hold the phone here. It's not that simple. I've asked for lots and lots of things, and I never get them. I didn't receive what I asked for. Well, it may be true that you didn't receive what you asked for, but is it fair to say that you didn't receive? Really? Just because you didn't receive precisely what you asked for does not mean that you received nothing. Look, and I do it too, so I'm not trying to be just harsh to you. This is for me as well, but But don't be like the spoiled child at Christmas who says, I didn't get anything for Christmas, when in reality, the child may not have gotten exactly what he or she wanted, yet gifts were still given and received. But even that in itself, as I think about it, that's not a very good analogy for this, because realize that what God gives, it's never secondary, it's never bottom shelf. What God gives, what you receive from your Heavenly Father, whether you ask for it or not, it's always, without a shadow of a doubt, the best thing that He can do for us. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us that. That's how. That goes along with the Lord being our shepherd, and therefore we're not going to be left wanting. Or maybe you're not questioning the receiving part. Maybe you're just questioning the simplicity of what Jesus is saying here. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Again, sometimes life is rough. And maybe you wouldn't say it like this, but you're thinking, yeah, right. The last time the door opened for me, it was an elevator shaft. I hope that's not you. But first off, again, if God is who He said He is, and He is, and if God really is in control, and He is, then remember to trust in Him. Because not only does He know what is best for you, God is doing what is best for His children. And to that end, yes, this teaching on prayer, ask and you shall receive, it really is just that simple. You don't need a co-signer for your asking. You don't need somebody to come alongside you. You don't need to build up credit with God. You don't need to do all the right things first as if you have earned your way into His favor. That's not how this works. Again, we've been talking about this. I said co-signer. That's not what it is with Jesus. But the only favor that we have in God is because of Jesus. It's not anything in and of ourselves. It's nothing we do on our own. So y'all don't treat God like that. As I said yesterday, when you pray, remember who you're talking to. I said we'd come back to this concept today. And boy, our passage really does. After verse 8, Jesus goes on to offer a really helpful hypothetical scenario when he asks this, and I'll just read it again, it's short. In verse 9, Jesus is talking to the crowd. He said, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? The answer, of course, is nobody would do that. This is a rhetorical question here that Jesus is asking. And then he goes on in verse 11, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? And what a wonderful question this is. Y'all, it's like I talked about yesterday with my own daughter, Isabella. She turns 12 tomorrow. It thrills me to see her happy. I absolutely delight in her joy. To see her pleased and blessed and to be joyful, it lights up my whole existence. And so I want to give her good things. But the reality is like Jesus just talked about, I am so far from being the perfect father, really and truly. You have no idea. I fail. I'm selfish. But just like I talked about yesterday, with God, why, God is our perfect Father who wants to give us good gifts, whose love is perfect. And if you doubt that, remember the greatest gift of all that He's already given. He sent His one and only Son for you. Not just so that you can have eternal life, but so that you can have eternal life with Him forever. Remember the 23rd Psalm, He is the great shepherd, right? And what does everything culminate to? It starts with us not being in want, but it ends with us dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and goodness and mercy following us always. Y'all, God hasn't changed. And though mystery is involved in what I'm about to say here, all right, there's mystery involved, though I don't fully understand the mechanics of it, the reality is that while God is sovereign, and while God carries out His divine will, realize that one of the ways that He does this is through the prayers of His people. And again, I don't perfectly understand this balance, okay, that God has His divine will and He's carrying out His ordained will, But yet he uses our prayers to work. And there's examples of this throughout the scripture. Look at the relationship that God and Moses had together. You know, part of the time it's God that wants to destroy the Israelites, or that's what he says to Moses. And then Moses reminds God of his promises. And there I go, reminds God. You can't remind God of anything. God knows everything. But you get the point here. And then the other part of the time, it's Moses saying, God, why don't you just destroy all of them? And then God brings Moses back from the brink, all right? But it's this balance here where God uses the prayers of his people to affect his will. And even though I don't understand that perfectly, that's okay because I don't have to, and you don't either. You know, it's sort of like the balance between God's sovereignty and our responsibility, right? The Bible has no problem saying that God is 100% responsible and God is 100% sovereign and I am 100% responsible. Now, you mathematicians out there might be adding things up and saying, wait a second, that's 200%. And you'd be right, and that's okay. The Trinity is 300% and 100%, and we're okay with that too, okay? And please, y'all, if there's any theologians watching this, don't jump on me for that. I'm just trying to make a point here. In the same way, God is sovereign. He executes his divine will, but he uses our prayers to affect his will for our lives. So, why pray? Because God uses those prayers, and God wants to bless you. That's why. Now, this isn't the televangelist thing where I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. You only have to trust him. And the only way you can trust him is to trust him with your money. And if you want to trust him with your money, you might as well send it to me. Okay, that's not what I'm doing here. But the reality is that God really wants to bless you. And not only with good gifts, but he wants to bless you when difficulty comes. When you're struggling, God desires to have that time with you to work in your life. As the hymn goes, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but do you remember what a friend we have in Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Then I love the verse, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Yes, there is. Then it goes on to say, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I know that's not scripture, but what it's teaching there is powerful stuff, and it's based on scripture. Y'all, God works through prayer to change your life. That's why we ought to pray. He is still in the business of answering prayers. Do you believe that? I sure hope that you do. Because if not, I fear that you may be missing out dreadfully. And come to think of it, forget about what I fear. I'm telling you, if you don't believe in the power of prayer, you are missing out. You're missing out on seeing God working around you, on the testimony of his greatness. You're missing out on the help that you so desperately need. And the people in your life are missing out on your prayers too. So pray. Trust God. If you believe in the power of prayer and you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, excellent. Keep on going. If not, turn to him. If you don't believe in the power of prayer, trust him and you will see that he is trustworthy. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, what a blessing it is to have this time together. It's a blessing to me. It's my prayer that you will use it. But Father, as we consider the Christian life, as we consider what it means to be a child of God, what a privilege it is that you have given us prayer. May we be people that believe in the power of prayer. Work in my heart, Father. Forgive me for the times when I've not counted it as valuable. When instead of going to you, I've relied on anyone and anything else. Forgive me, Father, and work in my heart to draw me closer to yourself. And if anyone else desires that, please do the same for them. And if any are there listening to this that do not know you, please work in their heart now. Help them to realize that a life of amazing wonder and freedom. Well, it's there for them too. And it starts with prayer. The prayer to ask you to be Lord of their life, to save you from your sins, from their sins, to ask for forgiveness. Please work in their hearts as well. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for being with me today. I'm delighted that we had this time together. And Lord willing, I will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. live streaming, or 7:30 if you're finding this on SermonAudio.com. Have a great day.